Hello, grandkids! Welcome to OPA 48. This is Kevin. With me, as usual, is Ken. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. It's at the end of a weekend that has been, I guess mixed with some rest and work put in together, so I feel like that's a pretty good weekend, personally.
Gotcha.
Gonna be refreshed tomorrow to start the work week.
Without being too stressed out from doing too much on the weekend.
Yes, or too little, you know. It's just that, right?
Yeah, at least feel like you got something accomplished.
That's right.
It is a good feeling.
Yes, exactly. You just came away from a meeting at your local condo association.
Oh, yep.
Association.
That's always fun. Always a good time. Yeah. I love complaints. I love complaints when no one tells them to me because I don't know that they're complaints.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's probably the best kind of complaint to deal with, I would say.
Yes, the imaginary complaint is, I've been telling you about this, and I'm like, no, this is the first time I've heard this.
Yeah. So, I guess, I don't know, I'm going to break away from the order here a little bit because... there have been some complaints about the corruption at FIFA lately.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like the plan, maybe not the timing. But there have been a couple of complaints about corruption, and... We did find out partially why Sepp Blatter accepted his fifth term, because now he can pretend to start atoning for all of his sins. And this was crazy to me. I guess I hadn't thought about it, to be honest with you, but how little this Congress, the FIFA Congress meets, just because there are so many people involved in it.
Yeah, I mean, we all get excited for the World Cup. It's exciting soccer, right? You got the best players in the world playing. Yeah. But I guess, like, there's all this stuff going on behind the scenes that really I had no idea about. So it's been interesting from that perspective, I guess, to kind of peek behind the curtain here. But yeah, that was one of the surprising things that I read in another article that we will link to this week. The people who actually don't, or who actually work, or I'm sorry, what am I trying to say? The national, conferences or whatever, are not actually part of FIFA, but they vote for the, who's going to be the head of FIFA. So it seems like kind of a weird thing.
I guess I did not realize that extra odd part of this whole situation.
Yeah, there's something weird in how that's set up. But I think that the article that I was looking at was actually maybe a little bit pro-Blatter, it seemed like, in a way. But it was very, very, very subtle. Like, in a way, because it was sort of saying, he was never really in control of the situation because these people don't really work for FIFA. They're not really, under his direct control. So it's harder for him to actually do anything.
Oh, okay.
If he wanted to kind of, clamp down on things. So I don't know how much that is true or not, but I guess,
We'll check into those legalities, grandkids, sure. And we'll get back to you.
Right. We will. We're going to get our best people on this.
Yep. I met a new lawyer today at our condo meeting. I will put her on the trail of this, and we will have an answer within never.
Okay, that's our promise.
Yeah.
Sometime between now and the end of time, or possibly beyond that. Yes, we will have the answer for you.
I guess I can see that. If that is the situation, he does have less control over them to be able to, do something about it. Like, what's he really going to do?
Yeah,
get someone to replace him, which that person can probably take the same bribe.
Yes. I think his, like, the guy who was running against him was, like, Prince Ali of Jordan, I want to say.
It was some Middle Eastern country. I can't remember which
one. Yeah, but, you know, you're going from a guy who is acting like he thinks he's royalty to an actual member of a royal family. I'm not sure if that's a huge step up.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's any better, really. The whole royal family thing is still a little weird in general to me. As we discussed on a previous podcast, anointing by birthright within the Roman Empire was not all that good of a plan.
Yeah, I feel like that was, you know, you're basically rolling the dice with each ruler. Like, is it going to be a good ruler or a bad one? I don't know. Could be either, I guess.
So we cannot assume that this prince, just because he's a prince, is a good ruler. Maybe that's why he got voted down.
Maybe a good bad roll of the dice. We don't know. You know, just being a prince, I guess, is not enough to be a good president of an international sports organization. That's all I'm saying. But you know, it just makes you wonder, like, what could be done to fix this? Like, if it seems like, well, here's the thing, and I don't know. Obviously, we are, as ever, following through on our zero research policy.
what do you need me to research
right now? Oh, I don't even know if it's researchable, but I feel like in some parts of the world, like this kind of bribery is kind of expected in a way. Like, you're supposed to, like, do this kind of stuff to maybe help your family out or, you know, your people in your inner circle.
Right.
Because maybe people are just, there's no other opportunities, if that makes sense. So, I mean, it's going to be hard in a way to, it's kind of, there's systemic problems, I guess, I feel like.
Yeah.
As much as Seth Blatter himself seems to enjoy being portrayed as a Bond villain.
Yeah, that was pretty funny in one of the articles. It wasn't one of the articles for this week, but they did mention that. It's just like, yes, if you're out there and you're enjoying that kind of publicity, you're not going to change that attitude. Like, he's clearly enjoying it.
People are going to think of you that way, yeah. If you're out there basically
confirming,
living it up, yeah.
Why, yes, that's true.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really. I mean, I do have a cat that I like to pet in my huge boardroom home office. But,
wow,
you know.
You never see my face. That's the only thing about him. That didn't make him like Dr. Claw was just the fact that he wanted people to see his face.
Right, and I think that was based on an actual James Bond villain. But, yeah, and then Dr. Evil as well is based on the same route.
Correct.
Yeah, that's he kind of is a Dr. Evil, I guess, in a way. He seems to want to be thought of that way, at least. But it's easy to kind of think about him that way, but really, who would do a better job, I guess? Like, what would, I don't know. There could be deeper problems, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, and I think that maybe that's why they arrested so many people, was to try and distribute the blame.
Right, and it doesn't seem like it was like they had to stretch very hard to be able to arrest all these people because they had some pretty good evidence, it seemed like, that these guys were up to no good.
Yeah, because one of those pieces of evidence was the fact that the head of the Irish portion of... of FIFA.
Like the Irish Federation or whatever they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that part I do have
Excellent.
With quick research. yeah, but they admitted that they accepted £5 million for... it was their Ireland's Football Association.
Mm.
Football Association of Ireland. Yeah, complicated one there. I couldn't remember that one on my own.
the old FAI. So, All right. Was there a possibility then, because this payment was like a hush-hush payment that FIFA paid to the FAI to get them to like not kick up a fuss about this obvious handball that occurred in the... Was it a World Cup game?
It was a World Cup qualifier.
Qualifier, okay.
Yeah, much like the games that happen here at now Mafre Stadium.
Oh, Mafre Stadium.
Yes.
Ooh. So they redid it there? The Crew Stadium?
Yeah, Crew Stadium has a sponsor now. Hmm. And it's a Spanish insurance company.
Interesting.
Yes, they FIFA gave them £5 million to shut up. It was kind of, I was kind of interested in that sum, just in and of the fact that it's just like, okay, how much is it worth to you to go to the World Cup? Like, I don't know how much exposure that gets you, what good that does your revenue.
Right. Well, it probably benefited somebody directly, is my fear. But it might also have not been a sure thing that they would have gotten, you know, another qualifying game. Like, I don't think that was
necessarily... Well, no, this cost them a spot in the World Cup.
True. But I guess I'm saying, like, I don't think that they would have had a do-over or, like, have been, you know, allowed to just go into the World Cup because of that handball. Do you think they would have?
Well,
I mean, what was at stake, I guess, if they wanted to push their case?
They would have had another match between... They were going to replay the match between France and Ireland.
Oh,
they weren't going to, you know, just off and give it to Ireland. It was on the table for Ireland to have a rematch.
So they could have done that then. Huh.
Right.
Well, I wonder if that would have, like, been an embarrassment to FIFA. Was that the idea? Or
I don't know what the thinking... Because I do remember this happening. And, I mean, it wasn't that long ago in 2012. But to me, it's one of those things where Ireland's team probably wouldn't have done much of anything in the World Cup itself.
Okay, because France got blown out, I believe, in that World Cup.
Is that... Yeah, France got blown out. They did really poorly afterwards, whether it's from guilt or just that they aren't, well, part of it had to have been that they aren't good. I don't think a fate much better would have awaited Ireland. And maybe the association said, you know what, rather than getting our clocks cleaned,
let's take some money and just,
let's improve our program here, take some money.
Count ourselves lucky.
Yep, count ourselves lucky.
I'm going to build an addition on my house.
And somebody gets to do that too.
But, I liked that I noticed on YouTube that somebody had, and maybe this is more well known, they had called this handball the Hand of Frog, I think in reference to the Hand of God goal by Maradona in the World Cup, whatever that year that was. But the French frog connection, I think, was what why they call it the Hand of Frog. Which I thought that was kind of funny.
And, I guess we kind of have two topics that we're kind of weaving in here.
Oh, I kind of made a little bit of a connection right there.
Yeah, you kind of had a segue, so I just figured we could keep on moving.
The top 10 most controversial calls in sports.
Yeah, well, and I did get a kick out of the fact that they said it was all professional, but then they went out of the way to put one in there from the Olympics. And I'm like, that's not professional.
I guess not at the time, huh? Well, there really hardly was a professional basketball in America probably back then.
I'm not talking about the basketball.
Oh, okay.
Because there used to be some of them, like, they used to not send professionals.
Right,
to the Olympics themselves. Like, we still dominated just sending college kids.
Yeah.
So, No, I wasn't talking about that one. I didn't even think about that. I was thinking about Roy Jones. The funny thing about really almost this entire top 10 list. I watched probably about 7 of the 10 things on it. Because I remember watching Roy Jones just completely tar and feather this Korean chap in boxing.
The Korean chap?
Yeah, well, the numbers that they said on the video there, I believe it was he connected with 96 punches, and the Korean only connected with 32, but the Korean ended up winning the decision. Yeah. Like, I remember being home going, holy sh-, like, even as a kid, because that was the 88 Olympics, so I would have been 12, and I'm going, there's no way that just happened. Like, that is so wrong.
Yeah, I mean, just the showing the part that they showed in the video and the stats that they mentioned, it was pretty obvious that the wrong guy won that one. And I thought it was interesting that the guy who did win, like, picked up the loser and was like trying to like carry him around or something.
Yeah, I think he was trying to say you're a winner too. Like, I think he even realized that the fix was in. Like, maybe he right. didn't actually know about it. Maybe his trainers set it up or something.
Could be.
Or maybe it was just some, you know, someone in the Korean community set it up, and he's just like, oh my god.
Someone in the Yakuza.
That's Japanese, Ken.
Oh, shit.
Get your ethnicities right.
That was so racist of me. Oh, whatever they have. I'm sure there's some kind of organized crime in Korea. They're human beings. They must have some kind of organized crime.
So, oh, yeah. Man. Okay, so yeah, there was the Roy Jones fight was on the list, and then there was the U.S. versus Russia basketball game, where this was one that I didn't watch because I believe it was 72 or 76. Right.
So that would have been before our times, literally.
Yes.
Yes.
But I had heard of this this game before.
So in this game, they reset the clock. I believe 3 different times.
Yeah, that was really the biggest thing, and the one thing that you see most often is the fact that they reset the clock to 3. Like, there was almost no time left on the clock, and Russia was getting ready to inbound it with the U.S. up 50-49. And this is well before the 3-point line also.
Oh, interesting. Wow, I didn't realize that was such a new invention.
We only had a 2-pointer to deal with here. So they had, but Russia ends up getting the time. They inbound it, and I believe the clock on top of that, like, I think this video actually shorted it. I think the clock didn't run for 2 seconds, and then the 3 seconds started to run off the clock, and then that's when Russia scored.
Yeah, that sounds pretty shady.
Nonetheless, I mean, even if that part of it didn't happen, it was really crazy to reset the clock 3 times before giving Russia the inbounds just on its own. And yeah, Russia scores an easy, basically, layup, and it's 51-50 Russia. And I did always enjoy the fact that none of the players from the United States team accepted their silver medals.
Yeah, that was a nice touch. They said that they had still not been picked up. I feel like they're not going to go get those, Kevin.
Yeah, they may as well keep those in a museum somewhere because they are not getting picked up.
Yeah, I mean, there's normally like a 30-day kind of limit or something, right? They're not going to hold on to it after that. I guess in a way, that's nice that the Russians have, like, kept them there. Most it didn't, like, melt them down to make something else out of them.
Good on the Russians. They, yeah.
I'm looking for the silver lining for these guys.
Oh, ba-dum-tsh.
Oh, silver lining.
And he didn't even know he was doing it.
That was unintentional, but I wish that was intentional. That was beautiful. That was a silver lining.
Oh, man.
So the,
I'm trying to think. George Brett was one of my I believe that one led off the top 10 list. Or no, that wasn't even on the top 10 list. Actually, they just showed it because they didn't.
Oh yeah, at the end of the video.
Yeah, they just showed it at the end of the video. They actually didn't have the pine tar on the list itself. Although they did have the Royals benefiting from a poorly called first base tag. Back in the 80s World Series, because I remember being contrarian in my household in my younger age.
Right.
And
you were a rebel.
I had an aunt, or a couple of aunts, that lived out in St. Louis. So everyone was pulling for the Cardinals to win, but I was pulling for the Royals.
So were they mad when that happened?
Yeah. They were kind of mad when that happened. The rest of my household was all for it, but I loved George Brett. George Brett was the reason I was rooting for the Royals. And they were none too pleased with said event happening.
Yeah, it looked pretty clear cut to me, and I'm not like a baseball expert or anything, but I would say that the guy's foot touched the base first before he got tagged, but you know. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and they showed some other enjoyable ones that actually didn't make the list, because they showed another one that happened recently that was one of the Armando Galarraga, I believe, for the Detroit Tigers, was throwing a no-hitter. He was through 8 2/3 innings, and then someone hit a ground ball. The first baseman came and got the ball, and he threw it to the pitcher who was on the base. And the umpire at first calls the runner safe, and he was out by a good half a foot. And the guy loses the no-hitter. He got an out on the next hit. Actually, it might have even been a perfect game that the guy was throwing. Like, this umpire royally screwed the guy. And that was kind of the interesting thing, is a lot of these... a lot of these events had much bigger implications, because I did like that about the list, is that some of them didn't directly lead to... because the Royals won, there was another game involved. That was a game 6. Right. So there was another whole game that, honestly, you can read... You got screwed in game 6.
But if they had lost that game, they would have been out then, right?
But yeah, if Kansas City would have lost, they would have lost the World Series, too. Yeah. So, I mean, it did have pretty big implications. They had the infamous tuck rule for the Patriots. I remember watching that one drunkenly with our good friend Jeremy down in an Atlanta bar.
that was probably pretty confusing to watch that at a bar in such a state.
Yeah, it was a little confusing. It was more confusing when the bum walked us home. But
oh, interesting. That is that part did not make the list.
But yeah, that one to me was a very big one. It was kind of funny that they got rid of most of the rules that ended up being controversial, because in this case,
there was also that hockey rule too.
Yeah, another one of the top 10 rules was Brett Hull's foot being in the crease and scoring for the Dallas Stars against the Buffalo Sabres. At that moment, it was an illegal act and should not have counted as a goal. They've since changed it to reflect it as long as you're not interfering with the goalie's movements, you can be in the paint. And that is a much more acceptable answer than just flat out you can't put your foot there. I mean, that was just silly to start with.
Yeah, I mean, was there any point to that, you would say?
Brett Hull's goal had nothing to do with his foot being in the crease.
Right.
Like, it didn't stop the goalie from stopping the puck. I do remember being pissed about it just because I didn't want the Dallas Stars to win.
But do you think that that rule had any kind of reason for being, or was that just sort of misguided in general?
It was misguided. Like I just got done saying that it was good that they replaced it with, as long as you're not interfering with the goalie's motions
that
now.
That makes a lot more sense.
Like, yeah, you can't be in there if you restrict the goalie in any way. The goalie was face down trying to make a save at that juncture. Dominic Hasek was known a bit for flopping around. So he was a bit unorthodox, and sometimes that caused them problems. And in this case, like, I mean, yes, it's an illegal goal, and the stakes are pretty big considering that the Dallas Stars won the Stanley Cup because of that goal.
So that's a big one. Yeah,
I mean, as far as the stakes go, it doesn't get any bigger than that call costing you the championship.
Yes.
or gaining you the championship.
Yeah, and I guess I was a little bit surprised that they didn't bring out the old classic Immaculate Reception in this list, just because that seems to always be in somehow in these kind of lists. But when you think about it, I guess that was, I mean, it wasn't the playoffs, but it wasn't like, you know, the championship game or anything.
And then people forget too that the Steelers lost the next week.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of a France Ireland sort of situation, I guess.
Yeah, it really was. Good things did not happen the next week for the Steelers. Like, everyone seems to think that was the one that started the dynasty, but they didn't win the Super Bowl until the following year.
I wonder if John Madden and the Raiders took any bribes to kind of stay quiet after that. Franco Harris picked up that ball and ran it in there for the touchdown.
Well, as you would well know if you listened to John Madden, he never stayed quiet, so I'm not sure.
He did a poor job of holding his end if he did.
Yes. Yes, he said that the ball touched the turf. Several on many occasions. So if he took a bribe,
he's a poor bribe taker.
Yeah, you had best not to try and bribe him.
It did not help. The NFL did not make a good bribe in that case. Good point. There's reasons to think that he may not have taken the bribe.
Right.
But otherwise, it's a very similar situation.
Otherwise, completely the same.
Yes.
And
then the number one most controversial call on this list was Maradona's Hand of God goal in the World Cup. What was that? In the 70s as well?
Yeah, that was in the 78, I believe. And it was completely ridiculous. I mean, the guy punched the ball.
He basically uppercutted it on the way into the goal there. Right. Now, the only thing is, I don't know where the ref was, but the one angle that they did show in this video, you could almost think that he headed it because he had his fist, like, right in front of, like, where his face was there. Yeah.
Yeah, there certainly is that aspect, too. And I do think that the referee was placed on the other side of the box, the 18-yard box, and he was kind of looking at that angle that the camera angle came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see where, because it does, he butts his head at the same time that he kind of moves his arm.
He's kind of giving like a dragon uppercut from Street Fighter. Just to give you guys a visual.
Yeah, I mean, that's weirdly a very good description.
Yeah,
if you're both into video games and sports.
Yeah, somebody out there has got to be. Well, today they consider video games to be a sport, Kevin. Esports are all the new, that's what all the kids are doing. But, yeah, that's basically what he was ahead of his time, I guess, is what I'm saying. Combining video games and sports in one move. And actually well before that game came out, so he was a visionary as well.
Yeah, but that's another one where I don't think that Argentina won the World Cup that year. Like, not to say that it didn't benefit them in winning a game.
Are you sure? I think it did.
Oh, it did?
I think they did, but maybe I'm wrong. Definitely they won that game because of that situation. I don't know if that was in the final of the World Cup, but Kevin is on the job looking this up in real time. Real time with Kevin DeFranco.
And why is this coming up with bad suggestions on my phone?
Yeah.
1966.
Oh, that was pretty good footage there they were showing. I wasn't expecting...
Is that what that was? Oh, no.
Maybe 76.
No, it was a different one. Okay. That is just pulling up bogus information, Phillips. Bogus.
Well, man, I'm going to say operator error.
Yeah, there is probably... that. Oh, they actually have a full wiki on it.
Oh, okay. 1986.
I don't know why I thought they said... Oh, well, whatever.
And Argentina versus England. So those guys can hold a grudge pretty good, I think. this was a quarterfinal game. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Argentina ended up winning or not. But... the part that really got me on this one was that after the game, when people asked him about the goal, he said it was the hand of God that tipped the ball into the net for Argentina. And that's why the goal is known as...
The hand of God.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, oh, hold on, where was it? Argentina went on to win the 86 FIFA World Cup.
No, there you go. So that's a good reason to be pissed, I would say.
Yeah, that does douse a little extra gas on the fire.
And I hadn't realized England has only won one World Cup.
Yeah, they have a very good soccer league. They do not have a very good soccer team most of the time. hey, even the United States tie them, so they can go and buzz off. And in the World Cup, we did not fare poorly against them. And I believe we should have won that match.
Yeah, a little bit like how the U.S. has been in basketball lately, with as far as being the country that invents the sport, kind of not being as much of a world beater anymore.
Not quite as much, but they did win the gold, I believe, last time around.
Okay, so never mind.
yeah, after a couple of down years, they got their act together.
Oh, because there is also the Olympics, right? Well, they play soccer at the Olympics, or don't they?
Yeah, I think they do sometimes.
Association football?
Yeah, yes. It's, I think they do.
Yeah, I remember, although maybe it got taken away, I don't know, they're... Now, the Olympic Committee, I think, is another one that needs some investigation.
Well, there's been plenty of that. I mean...
These international sports organizations seem to... There seems to be a common theme here with them and corruption.
Right.
So, that is to be noted, I would say. But,
Oh, yeah, so Summer Olympics every time.
It is?
Okay. Yeah, except for 1896 and 1932.
Now, I guess that's a good question. Why is the World Cup, like, such a bigger deal than the Olympics? Maybe because every country gets to play in the Olympics?
Right. But, I mean, no, I believe they even have a qualification process. It's the same, because in hockey, there's a qualification And anything, there is a qualification process to get into the Olympics.
So I guess you're not guaranteed then.
Right, you're not guaranteed to get in, because that's why I do always remember, and this is just completely dumb, in professional wrestling, Alberto Del Rio, when he was actually a real Olympic wrestler, he won the Pan Am Games, but Mexico did not have the money to fund him going to the actual Olympics that year, or in a year sometime close to that, so he didn't actually go to the Olympics to wrestle in it.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, so there are even financial considerations sometimes in not going.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess it all depends then. But still, I guess that's an even better question then. Why is the World Cup such a bigger deal than the soccer? The Olympics?
I don't know. It's always seemed
they're both 4 years, right?
Correct. They're once every 4 years. Honestly, I got sucked into soccer for the most part. Because I know I played a little bit as a kid, but I got the good fortune of being the only person not to turn someone down for a free ticket to the World Cup.
Oh.
One of my friends, he was on the soccer team, and evidently...
Where was this being played?
In Altoona. Oh. It was when we were still in high school.
Okay.
And it was after school was out, because the tournament's always in the summer. So it was between our senior year and when we started college. And they won a soccer tournament, and part of the prize was two tickets for each player. So they got to bring someone along to go to the World Cup.
Oh, that's really cool.
And my buddy Greg, I would later found out on the bus, someone was trying to make it an insult. They said, oh, do you realize that you were like the 12th person Greg called? Everyone else turned him down. I'm like, I'm here? Like, I don't care.
Well, all right, whatever. I wanted to go check this out anyway. So.
Like, I was not super big into soccer, but it was one of those things where it's just like, well, it's the World Cup. I mean, if I'm to understand this is, you know, like, everyone had started to make a big deal out of it. It was hosted here in the United States for the first time in a very long time. Right. I think there is another one.
So this would have been like 94, 95?
94,
yeah.
Yeah, and I went to the game, and honestly, it was one of those things. It was so mind-blowing to see fans going that crazy. I don't know if, like, even trying to compare it to Ohio State, I don't know if there's a comparison. Like, those people are insane. Like, it is crazy how, just whacked out people get about that. And I mean, I think people get pretty crazy about Ohio State. Like, I am really not trying to diminish that in any way, shape, or form.
Well, there is something about it being played once every 4 years. I mean, you know, there's what, 8 games a year that Ohio State plays? I mean, would you say like 12. A bowl game? I mean, have you been to a Ohio State bowl game though?
I have not been to a bowl game. And that would be, but I mean, the bowl games are a different animal in and of the fact that you've got to get somewhere.
True.
Like this... I did not attend a bowl game. I went to the MAC championship game.
For the Golden Flashes?
For the Golden Flashes a couple of years back up in Detroit, Michigan. Ooh. But still, there's usually Detroit, some type Rock of City. Travel involved. So you're not always going to get, the craziest fans, in my opinion.
I think I know what you mean. Cause you need to have the fans who are at least together enough to like organize travel plans and to have, you know, the resources to do so.
Right. College students, they're on campus most of the time. So to me, the atmosphere, I would take it at anyone's home stadium, whether it was there, Penn State. LSU has a huge stadium. Tennessee had a huge stadium until they stopped being good at football.
Mm.
But I mean, yeah, there's a number of places that to me that
bad
get
decision on their part
really raucous. And those, to me, it would be about the closest to a World Cup kind of atmosphere. Except, like, you know, because as much as we love the Steelers, sometimes that atmosphere is a little less, you know, crazy because people have jobs.
Yeah, and I guess the thing is that this can be something that you might, you know, be looking forward to for years.
If
you, like, have your tickets ahead of time. You know, your country's team is in there.
Yeah, you've really got to plan ahead of time. Well, in that, I guess that was your main point more, was just because it is every 4 years instead of once every year.
Right.
Because even a championship game happens once every year. But the thing is, your team definitely doesn't get there every year.
Yeah, no, right. Unless you're the Patriots, sons of bitches.
And
it just,
even
it
them,
just feels like it. For
yeah,
them.
And even them, it's not.
That's right.
So, you know, it's pretty crazy. So, I mean, just to get into the World Cup is really tough. And to get into the championship is even crazier. And to be able to plan it out so that you can be there for that championship, that takes a lot of foresight and a lot of money.
Right.
Because, again, we were talking about the locations. It was in South Africa recently.
Which I feel like that was a little controversial in some ways.
And I'm trying to think of what 2014 was.
That was the year of the Vuvuzelas.
Oh, man.
Some people think ruined the World Cup that year, but... So like I said, controversial. You know, it depends.
Yeah, the Vuvuzelas, like, that honestly got to the point where it really was. It was like a beehive, and it just, like, I'd hear it at the start of a game, and then at some point I would just tune it out.
Yeah.
Now when I just hear the same, oh, Brazil.
Oh, that's right, because Brazil lost. That's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how I forgot that one. Nothing like getting smashed in the quarterfinals. Like, they didn't just lose, they lost 4-1, if memory serves. And now that the thought comes up,
yeah. And I remember them playing like trashy too, and like fouling, and for some reason that World Cup, the image I have when I think back to it is that guy. Do you remember at the beginning of the World Cup, like the opening kickoff, it was like a guy who was paralyzed but was able to like use his brain to like move his body to like kick the ball.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was wild.
Right, that was a pretty crazy way to kick things off, you know. Literally.
Oh, and evidently I was understating the beatdown that Brazil received from Germany.
Was it 6-1?
7-1.
Oh, that's even worse than I remembered.
That is a beatdown of epic proportions.
Epic proportions. Yeah, I wonder. That's got to. Well, I think it probably came up during the game because I remember listening to part of it on the radio because it was like kind of as I was leaving work that it was still ongoing. I feel like, but it was out of hand at that point. But
I remember tuning in too late, and then it was already 2-0, and like within a minute. The Germany, yeah, because it was the, oh, yeah, I tuned in the 23rd minute or something like that, and Klose had just scored, and then they scored another goal in the 24th and the 26th. I thought I was hearing things.
Right.
Like, I was kind of like, I had
it. You were
up.
Like in the Matrix thinking that there was like a black cat walked by twice.
Yeah, I was like, what? You're shitting me.
Oh my god, the agents are on their way.
I need to get this out of my stomach. Please, Morpheus, save me.
Wait, what? Kevin's really acting weird. What's going on over there? But yeah, that was a lot of goals in a short amount of time.
Yeah, because it was 23rd, 24th, 26th, 29th. I mean, when it's 5-0 before you have an answer, before you can even...
And then they tack on two more later in the game.
Right. Yeah, it was actually 7-0 before Brazil scored.
That had to be, like, the most pointless goal in all of soccer for quite some time back, I would think.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's just got to be brutal to be sitting through that. I just...
How would you feel if you scored that goal? You'd be like, yay, I guess. Like, I don't really feel good about this.
I feel kind of dirty still.
Yeah. Like, did they... They might have let us have this one? I don't know. This is not really what I was hoping for when I might be scoring a goal in the World Cup.
Oh, man.
So, well, that, we forgot about that one somehow.
Yeah, and I would say it was amazing to me that none of those players completely lost their marbles.
Oh, good point. That could have, they could have very easily lost their marbles after something like that happened.
Yes, when you're down 7-0 in the World Cup in your home country, you just might lose your marbles.
That reminds me of someone else who, for sure, is not going to lose his marbles. Well, long-time listeners will know that marbles is, for a particular reason, has been a recurring theme on our show here. We like topics that somehow involve marbles.
Yes, this is all due to the infamous occasionally intern that we had that. That was at my office, and he had a fascination with marbles.
Yes.
And Ken gave me a marble for my birthday one time because of his fascination, yes. Which I did have quite a laugh over.
Yeah, the guy liked marbles. He would go to marble shows?
Conventions.
Conventions, yes.
Yep.
And, you know, we've...
In various and sundry places.
We've reported on some pretty cool-looking marble art in the past on our show here.
Yep.
But this guy is someone who has maybe not an interest in the art of the marbles, I would say, Kevin.
No, this guy's fascination is quite a bit different.
Yes.
This guy is more worried about the speed of the marbles.
Yeah, right. How fast they are.
Because he has... Evidently, he started this collection. They did not really say... Well, he started his fascination with marbles when he was 12.
Yes. Apparently, went on vacation, played with marbles.
Now,
this... Made a big impression.
This video was in a different language.
Yeah.
And they never, to me, made clear the relationship between the woman...
Oh, I believe that was his wife.
Oh, okay, that is his wife?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, that poor woman.
Really, the fact that she was completely straight-laced during this whole thing, like, I just want to go and hug her and meet her and make her my friend.
Yes.
Like, if she can keep that kind of straight face in front of someone who's clearly insane, I need to know this person.
So, I guess you're saying he maybe, you know, is trying to keep his marbles, but the ones that are the important marbles that have been... misplaced somehow.
Yeah, because she said that he plays with the marbles for 8 hours a day.
Yes.
And
he has a special room for his marbles that...
Yeah, they specifically moved to a new house for his marbles.
To be able to have a room for his marbles.
Yeah. And in some ways I go, well, this happened with my dad and his silly trains.
Oh, there
you
go.
But you know what? Yeah. That does have a more practical use. It became that because...
Sure. You can use those trains to pull, to, you know, haul coal. I mean, you can... There's valuable real estate in those cars, Kevin. I mean, come on.
No, the plans were to make it more of a ranch-style house, if indeed necessary.
Right.
Which, that does accommodate, but we would have to relocate the train somewhere. Yeah. Which would require quite an effort.
Yeah, I mean, it could become like a subway, maybe. They could put it in the basement, perhaps. I don't know.
Maybe, because, but...
yeah, well...
My dad does not play with his trains for 8 hours a day, though. Every day of the week. And I mean, he also does not write down how fast each car runs. Oh,
my goodness, yes.
This gentleman with his marbles.
You should check out this video, because this guy is, there's something wrong with him, I think.
If they're, OCD is something to me that gets tossed around a little too easily from time to time.
Right.
This guy's level of organization was pretty impressive for his marbles.
Well, okay, we should, I guess, back up a little bit and just say, like, what it is that he's doing for 8 hours a day.
He has a racetrack for marbles.
Yeah, they kept calling it a marble alley, but I don't know if that's, like, a term in that country or what, but...
Right, because we're not entirely sure which country this is.
Yeah.
I would say that it had some type of, at least minimum, German influence, because some of the words sounded familiar to me. Through my extensive years of German classes. Yes.
I'd say some kind of Germanic language. That would be pretty fair to say. But yeah, the guy has a marble track, like, or alley.
Yeah, because they didn't really define that, but
it's kind of a spiral that goes around and down. But it does
spiral,
kind of...
but it has humps and rolls in it.
Yeah.
And it isn't like a very steep descent. And it goes, and I mean, the room was fairly large.
Yes.
And then he has a conveyor belt that loads the marbles back up.
Right.
Onto the top so that they can be relaunched.
It seems like he'll turn it off, or yeah, he'll have it sitting there, and then when the marbles all finish, he'll turn it on again, and they'll run again.
Yeah, because his wife goes, oh, there goes the motor again.
Yeah. So this is a pretty intense, I mean, this is at least as intense, well, probably, he doesn't have, like, all the decorations, I feel like, that your dad does. This is a very, like, minimalist track setup he's got.
Yeah, this guy is all about the marbles.
All business, yeah.
There's
no accoutrement that go along with the marbles.
Yeah, it's all about which marbles travel at which speed.
That's the other thing. He has, like, 1,500 marbles, and they all have names.
Yes, that are microscopically put onto the marbles itself.
Little name tags, too.
But he also has name tags so that he can read them.
Yes.
But just in case someone decides to take off the name tag, there's an imprint in it that you can't fuck with, man.
Yeah. So this guy is into marbles.
And he is, well, actually, to also go with another comparison, he's the same age as my father. It's 72.
Oh, well, there you go. So he has, like I said, 1,500 marbles, and they're stored in a cabinet on these little trays. And on each of these trays is a number, which... That number is the amount of seconds it takes for that marble to get down his track. So he has, like, them starting at, like, 115 seconds all the way down to...
113.
Then. Down to, like, 161, I think.
Yes, 161. And he has a case for every number in between.
Right.
Every number. It's like,
okay, these marbles will finish in 113, these are in 114, these are 115.
Yeah.
And I think he has them racing each other... in the same classes, basically. And he's like, this is Pedro the celebrity. This is, like, the different names he has for his marbles. And his poor wife is just, like, downstairs listening to this all day. Like, you know, probably taking care of the house.
Well, she makes him dinner. He has dinner. She says the only time he comes down is when I put out dinner. She is still cooking dinner for this guy.
Yeah, I wonder if he does the dishes at least. That was not mentioned, but...
Yeah, I mean, if he is only playing with the marbles for 8 hours, I suppose he does have some other awake time. I would say that on average, if... we go with a 7-hour sleep day. There's about nine other hours that he can...
7 plus 9 is 16 plus 8. You got it. 24.
Yep. So, you know, he does have some time to do other things. But still, to be that dedicated to any one thing is...
And I liked his response when the person who was recording this whole thing, this insanity, was asked him if he ever got bored playing with his marbles. And like his response was like,
what? No.
It's like, no. He's like, no.
Like, why would you ask such a silly question, sir?
Like, he was like, I don't even like that you're asking this question. Basically was kind of his response. How dare you imply that this could be boring? Did you see these? These are marbles. Obviously, I want to stare at them.
Oh, man.
For at least 8 hours a day.
Oh. Well, from time to time, I could stare at the bottom of a beer bottle for 8 hours a day.
Wow. That would get boring after a while.
It would.
Oh, you were supposed to say no, it couldn't. But that's okay.
Well, if my liver would put up with it, it would not get boring.
That's right. It would get painful after a time, I think.
So, the sippy time beer of the show here was Ken, one that Ken kindly got.
Purely based on the label,
yeah,
I gotta say.
Purely based on the label, which has The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. And it was Gollum Precious Pils.
Yeah, Precious Pils. Nice.
Did we have an actual company that this was from? I did not. For some reason, I'm like, oh, The Hobbit is actually the name of the company. And or not the name of the company. I just thought it was there. I hadn't read the label. Well, while Ken goes and fetches that answer, we have also brought one of Eric Nelson's favorite beers to this party, too. It's a Deschutes Brewery Chainbreaker White IPA. It is, as already noted, a white IPA. These guys are out of Bend, Oregon. Deschutes makes some tasty, tasty beer. So, yes, if you get a chance and you like the IPA, I say try out the Chainbreaker. And Sir Ken.
Well, this does say New Line Cinema and MGM on here, but I feel like they are not the...
the brewer of choice.
Yeah.
Well, that will remain a mystery, grandkids. I would say that you will probably get an answer on @StuntGranny, maybe on @DeFrango11, and quite possibly you will get an answer on @Gozer33.
Can I do a little spoiler here?
Yeah, you can do a spoiler.
It's the Fishtail Ales is the name of the company that that made this beer.
We have answered the question.
Out of Olympia, Washington.
Okie dokie.
And I only know that because I can read
very fine print.
The Elvish script. so.